James 4:13 says, the theme for this morning's message, planning without God is the greatest folly, especially if you are a believer. James 4:13 says, look, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue and do business there for a year to buy and sell and get gain. Beware. Herein is a great folly and a trap. You say, of course, we must plan, isn't it? We are not against planning. Indeed, every thinking person must plan. And only man is able to plan and to project his thoughts and desires and ambitions into the future. All of us, at some time or other, must have sat down and perhaps with pen and paper and say, this is my plan. I think this is what I ought to do. And we all ought to do it. And this gift, this ability to plan is given only to man, not to your cat. Only man has ability and capacity for constructive and forward planning. Why? God has made us in His own image, after His own likeness, with that capacity for constructive thinking, planning. And God not only made us so, but He breathed His breath so that we all have received of Him that breath of life. When God had made Adam, He called him the son, His son. Oh, what a privilege, isn't it? Our first ancestor, Adam, was called the Son of God. And all of us taking after him have that knowledge of God, that consciousness of a creator, that capacity for worship. That's why we are here today. Here we assemble as children of the family in order that we may come here according to God's commandment. How do we know to come here? We know to come here because our Lord commands us to come here. And this is a commandment of great affection, of blessing. Why? The Father Himself, the God of all mercy and the God of all blessing, says, come once a week. And this is part of almighty planning. God plans it for us. You are my children, this is the plan. So we come. We come to acknowledge Him as our Creator. We come to admit our dependence upon Him, our accountability before Him. We are not automatic beings. We didn't come of our own accord, and we do not live our lives unto ourselves, but we are living here a life that is accountable. So here we are. And we are here to also pay a debt of gratitude that we can never finish paying. You do, friends. You came here this morning. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. We come here to say thank you, Lord, and to express our thanks and to express also our need of the Father, for without Him we can do nothing. So I say this morning, dear friends, only man has this capacity of planning, of thinking, and of coming to worship, to commune, and to communicate. Only man. Only man has the capacity to receive instruction from God, to return thanks to God in the offerings we give, and not just the offerings. Only man has the capacity to say, Lord, take my life. Take my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable for thy use. This is the way that we worship God, not just with substance, but with life, with talent, with time. All these things are to be returned and offered on that altar of sacrifice. Only man can recognize that we live in God, we move in God, all that we do is within the view of God that he sees. And we must also, when we come before God, admit, acknowledge, Lord, we are here but as travelers, sojourners. The earth is just a passing by, and our eternal dwelling place is in God. He put us here. We did not arrive here on our own. None of us did so. None. All of us came because of a preceding cause. And God is the great first cause. He caused. He made us. He made our parents. And he put us here for a purpose. And we must know that purpose. Well, unless you know that purpose, you cannot plan intelligently. We all must plan. So this morning, think. How must we plan? The title for this morning is Planning Without God. And I say that is folly for a Christian to plan without God. So ponder our purpose on this planet Earth. The Word of God says, who is man? That God should be mindful of him. Man is a tiny dot, placed on a planet which is a tiny dot. Among all the heavenly bodies, earth is a tiny dot. And how is it that God lavishes and pours down his attention and his love on man, on this planet? Puts him here. What for? For a purpose. We all ought to understand we are here for a purpose. A higher purpose. Not just to live here, do the ordinary, normal, daily things, and then die here and that's it. Not at all. We are here for a purpose. What are we here for? We are different from the dog or the cat. We are here with the image of God, the likeness of God, the spirit of God, the breath of God. God has a great purpose for you and me. I refer to the Westminster Confession of Faith, that great statement of the Christian faith. And the first question says, what is the chief end of man? Right? We ask ourselves this morning, what am I made for? What did my parents give birth to me for? Is that right? We ask ourselves. And the Westminster Confession says, the chief end of man is to glorify God. Did you ever hear of that? We all went through our catechism class, and we all know it. Yes, of course. The chief end of man, the chief purpose of man, is to be here on earth to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Oh, how can we glorify God? You know, man does not naturally glorify God. To glorify God is a spiritual activity. And the natural man has not that capacity, because the natural man does not understand or receive the things of the Spirit of God. What is the natural man? The natural man is the man who does not know God yet. The one who is born as any other normal human being, natural, normal, physical, alive, intellectual, social, that's a natural man. The man in the street, the normal man, the normal Singaporean, natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Therefore, in his natural life, he cannot glorify God. Therefore, he cannot plan to glorify God. He does not know how to do it. It is a spiritual activity. And to the natural man, it says here, it is foolishness unto him. You tell him, look, You don't live that way. You live this way. You that you can glorify God. He says, what are you talking about? It is foolishness to him. All he knows is, I plan my life as a man, as a normal inhabitant of Singapore. I know what to do. I have a plan. Now, exactly as this says, verse 13, James 4:13, he says, look here, you that say, today or tomorrow, I will go into that city. Now, everybody is rushing to different cities. Some rush to Myanmar, some to China, some to Taiwan or Hong Kong or Philippines. What for? It says here, I will go there. I will continue there 1 year. Buy, sell, and get gain. This is the planning of the natural man. He knows what to do. Why? Because he's got his Bachelor of Business at. He's got his degrees. He knows his business. He knows exactly what is wanted in this place or that place. What to buy, what to sell, he knows. So he goes. He plans. And my, in a year's time, he's made $1 million. Isn't that great? This is natural planning. Now you tell him you must glorify God. He says, what are you talking about? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they to him are foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, my friends, this morning we must think beyond the natural level. Beyond the normal, ordinary man in the street level. He thinks that way, he succeeds that way. We must go beyond and above that. Our Lord Jesus told a famous parable, and I want you all to look into that this morning. At this time, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel chapter 12. A well-known example of planning without God, of the natural man planning to succeed. And mind you, mostly people succeed very well with this plan. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus says to them, and I say the Lord Jesus says to us this morning, verse 15, take heed. Beware of covetousness. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Pause and think. There is great boom in his harvest. Whatever he's doing is prospering so much. He says, ah, my storehouse is not enough. I must plan, right? Here comes the plan. What is his plan? He has a plan. Why, he's a very smart fellow. He succeeded so far very well, and he wants to succeed further. Is there anything wrong with it? At the natural level, he scores full marks. Nothing wrong. We all must do it. You see, your business is prospering. You must enlarge. You must provide for more storage and for investments. Correct. 100%. At the natural level. Planning without God. Verse 18. Now beware. He says to himself, this is my plan. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. And there I will store all my fruits and all my goods. Wonderful, wonderful. This can be done in a short time. Then, number 19 says, after I worked so hard, I struggled so hard day and night, I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry, and take it easy. Relax now. You have the fruit of your labor. You work so hard, isn't it? That's a good plan. What's wrong with the plan? He planned without God. And that night God acted. God moved. Verse 20. God said to him, look, you fool. Tonight, this night, Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're going to build big, store big, and then sit back, relax, but you don't have the time for it. You see, the man in James 4 says, go to tomorrow, even today, I got a project. I go to that city, and there I'm going to trade, buy, sell for 1 year, and then make big money. But in Luke's parable, God says, where do you have 1 year? Tonight your soul is required of you. Then what will you do? Did you plan? Did you take into consideration the other factor in the equation? You've worked out your sums very well. If I do this, 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 I buy so much, I sell it so much, I'll make so much. That's a good equation, right? Very good. You've done your sums. But there is one factor in that equation. God. You can say, I do, but God says you die. Tonight, you die. What do you do? You see, this is the thing that causes us to sit back and think. Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Not even tomorrow. James 4:14. You cannot be sure of tomorrow. How can you then be sure of 1 year's time? Oh, dear friends, this is the folly of planning without God. How do you plan with God? We're going to see into that. We're going to look into that in some detail later on. But first of all, planning without God. Is anyone here planning? I say, congratulations, make plans, good plans. But please understand in that equation, don't leave out that one great factor, God. My God, my Savior who saved me. Is He in your equation? Is He part of your plan? Do you plan with Him in your sums, in your equation? Is God there? That is most important. Why? My times are in His hands, right? You say, oh no, I just went through my physical this year. My doctor gives me a clean bill of health. Everything is fine. My heart is going to pump on. I'm going to live till 95. That's all right. No, you have forgotten the unknown factor, the unseen factor. God. And God says, tonight. Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Don't you go to bed and say, I am sure of tomorrow. You cannot be. But I can be sure that God knows tomorrow. That I'm sure. And I know God plans for me. And I know that I put my hand in His hand, my life in His hand, my whole future in Him. Then I plan. Then I can go to bed and say, Lord, tomorrow is yours. And I'm in your hands. I know tomorrow is sure in your hands. Nothing to worry. Verse 14. You know not what shall be tomorrow. What is your life? What is your life? Never be overconfident as this man who says, today or tomorrow, I'll go to this city and do this, that, and the other, and I'll make gain for 1 year. I say, impossible. Impossible. But plan with God in the very forefront of your planning, your thinking, and say, Lord, I think I want to do this, but, Lord, may you be in charge. Do we do that? God, please, teach me how to plan. Teach me how to walk. Teach me how to project for the future, because I know you know the future. I don't know the future. You know my life. How much more? How many more years I have to live? God knows all. So, verse 14 says, what is your life? What is your life? How old are you? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For our, the days of our years are 80 years. And I've just passed that 2 years ago. And then I talk to my wife very often. I said, you know, every day is a bonus day. Why? She's passed 80 years, and so have I, and so we rejoice. Every day, a bonus day. Every year, a bonus year. Thank God. He knows the future. I don't know, but I know that He knows my future. So, dear friends, the message as we think along this morning is thinking and planning for us must rise beyond the natural level. These people that are talked about in James and in Luke chapter 12, they planned at the natural level. And that planning can succeed, and can succeed very well. I don't say that it cannot succeed. We are going to go into that. But, dear friends, you and I are different. Do you realize that? You and I are very different. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are children of God. And we have a different agenda, a different objective, a different target, a different destination, and therefore we have a different plan on earth, a very different plan. We must learn to plan not at the natural level, the human level, the social level, the material level, the carnal level. That kind of planning is universal. You have a plan. Once I heard a speaker at a seminar who used this slogan very effectively. You listen to this. Quite good. He said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Right. I didn't plan. Means I plan to fail. Oh, how true it is, isn't it? So I said, this slogan is good for students, for businesses, for directors of companies. We must have a plan. When I went to Belfast to study 41 years ago, I had a plan. I planned every day with God. Every day I had a book for every day, a page for every day. And I wrote the lines and I counted the hour by hour. Every hour accounted for. Can you believe that? Every hour, what I did, I entered in there. So that I know exactly what I'm doing, because I went there for one objective, to do a job. And I went there with a promise to God that, Lord, if you will prosper my ways, that I may come back one day after 2 years and a half. I never saw my family, even one member of the family, for 26 months. It's a long time, isn't it? You say, why? Why did you come home? Those days, very expensive to travel. Today, at the drop of a hat, everybody flies. So cheap to travel. Those days, to make one trip, oh, you have to save 1 year to make one trip. I don't have the money. Now, coming back to the point of planning. Since I'm there to study, I study. But I say, Lord, you help me. If you help me to finish, and I'm going to do my best, and when I finish, I can make return home to my family and to my church and to serve you, I will serve you with all my heart and soul, right? So that's a way to plan. You see, when Jacob was fleeing from his angry brother who says, I will kill him, Esau says, wait till my turn comes. I will kill him. Jacob ran. That night, Jacob dreamt in the wilderness. Beautiful dream. Ladder to heaven. God appeared to him and said, Jacob, I am the God of your father and grandfather and your God. My, what a wonderful thing, isn't it? This swindler who tricked his brother twice, running away, has God appeared to him. Marvel of marvels. You say, is God partial? Oh no, friends. This is called the grace of God and the imponderable wisdom of God. God had pity on Jacob. And God appeared to Jacob. He said, I'm so unworthy. And God has blessed me. Is God playing favorites? No. God has no favorites. God just loves you out of His sovereign love. And He appeared to Jacob and said, Jacob, while in his dreams, he saw God. Then he woke up. He says, "My, this is holy ground." Then he said to God, "Lord, if you see me through, go with me to where I'm going. Keep me all the way. Feed me, clothe me, bring me back safely. I will serve you. You will be my God. And this place will be called Bethel, house of God. And I will serve you with my substance. Whatever you give me, one-tenth will be yours." The beginning of the tithe, you know. How wonderful, isn't it? Now that's his plan. What kind of plan? Jacob running from his brother had nothing in his hands, only a bottle of water and a piece of bread and a bottle of oil. And they ran for dear life, nothing to his name, running away. When he returned, he came back with a great multitude of family and followers and servants and livestock and herds and everything. A great army came back. How come? Did he plan? How did he plan? You see, here is the wonderful thing. How could he plan? He's going to a strange place. He'd never been there before. He had no resources. He got no special education of any kind, and he was going. But he had a wonderful plan. You see the difference. He said to God, "God, you appeared to me last night. You said you are my father's God, my grandfather's God, and I say you are my God. If you will go with me." Now this is a plan. Please listen carefully. "If you go with me, keep me, feed me, clothe me, bring me back, you are my God. That's my plan." Isn't it great? I said the same plan when I went to Belfast. Oh, it was the most terrible 1 month in my life. Most terrible. I nearly took the next plane home. Homesickness nearly killed me. I said, never left my home. There I am in a foreign place, cold, like a refrigerator. People spoke a different language. You see, English is Irish English, very different from English English. Different food, different culture, different people. Everything is different. What plan? How can I be sure I'll come back 2.5 years later with my degree and then with a career made for me? How come? I say it's the same plan. God, if you are my father's God, my grandfather's God, and you are my God, and you go with me and help me in my studies. I say all this to students, right? All the students, all of you. You have something, your cause of study. You're doing something. You say, "God, if you're my God, and you go with me in this cause and help me, then I succeed. And one day I come back with a degree and I can get a good job. You will be my God. I will follow you all the days of my life and I will give you my one-tenth." Now this is a plan. Isn't that great? Planning with God. Now, dear friends, planning at two levels. The title given to me was Planning Without God Can Be Very Successful. Please don't mistake me this morning. Yes, don't misunderstand to say that only with God's planning you can succeed. I say you can plan without God and succeed very well. Now, what do I mean? We have a neighbor called Malaysia. Malaysia has a 25-year plan. And it is succeeding so well to project Malaysia into the year 2020. And in that year of 2020, it will become a first-class country, fully industrialized, a first-world country, the year 2020. Any of you Malaysians here will understand what I'm saying. And now that plan has been in operation for a few years, and Malaysia is zooming away, going places, succeeding very, very well with a 25-year-old plan, 25-year plan. Of course, that plan is succeeding because they have think tanks, committees of very smart people. You want to plan well? Get smart people.
people who score very high marks in university, get them in. And you sit down together and plan through, study every aspect, the social aspect, economic aspect, the cultural aspect, the religious aspect of all of the society of Malaysia. This all together, study the science and technology, the educational aspect, the financial aspect, the trade in industry, the labor and capital, the human relations, the communications, everything. Piece them all together. And then you analyze. And then you plan. And then you have a plan for trade in industry, plan for education, plan for cultural activity, everything. They will go forward together in the most wonderful way. Today, Malaysia is going up and up. True? Yes. Good plan. Now, how about Singapore? I say Singapore is not to be left behind. One analysis says, in 20 years' time, Singapore will be the richest country in the world if things go on at this rate. Every few years, every housing estate gets upgraded. And your house worth 200,000 now becomes 400,000. Everybody gets richer and richer and richer. This plan is succeeding very well. Yes or no? Of course. You cannot deny it. Because it shows in statistics, in dollars and cents, you were earning 2,000 before, now you're earning 10,000, right? Where did it come from? Wise planning. So we have a good government. Praise God and thank God for that. A very, very astute and very good government and good planning. When I go to Australia, they say, send us your Prime Minister 10 years ago. Yes, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, he's the best. If he were to come here and teach us, we will also prosper like Singapore, right? Because he's got a plan. And his plan is tremendous, tremendous. After 30 years, transform Singapore into a tiny colony of no particular name into a top first-rate world economy. Now, all this due to what? Planning. And all this is planning at the natural level. Success? Yes. Now you ask me, what's the difference? Do you need God to make us all become so much more prosperous? Do you need it? Well, in a sense, you can plan at the natural level and succeed that well. We will not go into the aspects of common grace that God gives to prosper a country by common grace, right? That is something else. Now, can a country succeed with natural planning at the natural level, social level, without God? Answer is yes. Absolutely possible. Proof, Singapore, Malaysia. Now, what is the difference? Dear friends, without God in your plan, you are part of the Singapore plan. You grow richer, live better, eat better, live in better housing, drive a bigger car, earn a bigger income, and eventually you'll be very rich, and eventually you die a very rich man, and you get a bigger coffin and you go down. That's all. That's all. That is all that is promised to you, a better lifestyle, more income, more CPF, more investments, more and more and more and more until you go fat, and then you die, then you go in. That is the end of it. There is a difference, friends. There is a difference. Planning with God makes all the difference. We who are children of God, plan with God. My times are in your hands, God. My times are in your hands. Think of Jacob. What did he have? But he planned with God. God, if you are with me, and go with me, keep me, feed me, house me, and clothe me, and bring me back safely, I will be your follower. You be my God. This is the planning that we all must think of. Now, at the natural level, all this planning leaves out the unseen factor, God. Now, this is where we, as children of the Heavenly Father, must realize we must never fall into that trap. Yes? Don't say, now I got my degree. I got my double degree. I can earn double. I do better. Now I can plan. I will go forward. Today, I will go to this city, buy, sell, make gain, and then that's it. Now, let's put God into the very forefront of our thinking, our planning. Planning with God. Let me give you 5 points to help us think on how we can plan with God. First point, I am a child of God. That makes a difference. I acknowledge I have a Heavenly Father who knows, who made me, and He knows my interests, and He knows my future. I am His child, and He put me here for a purpose. That's the first point. I am a child of God. Number 2 point, He saved me. He purchased me. He made me His own. He paid for me for my ransom by the precious blood of His own Son. Therefore, I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. Therefore, I owe Him my all. All that I have, all that I am is His. That makes the second point. To make this planning with God. Third point, He put me here for a purpose. He saved me for a purpose. Everyone is saved to serve. No one is saved to sit. We all are saved in order that we may do something for the Lord and glorify His name. What are you doing? In your planning, do you say, Lord, You saved me. I plan this or that for my family, for my children. But the most important thing is, Lord, You've saved me, You've given me, enabled me, given me a family. I will glorify You in this family. Yes, we have that purpose. Point number 4. Lord, I know my time on earth is limited. You may be 15, you may be 50, you may be 70. Whatever your time, I can tell you, there is no exception for us all to acknowledge my time is limited. Don't say because I'm 15, therefore I have got 50 years ahead. You cannot be sure. Why? The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. You cannot be sure of tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. A vapor. You see the vapor this moment. You turn around, you turn back again, the vapor is gone. That's you. That's me. So we cannot be sure of that. So that's the fourth point. Lord, I have a short time on earth. Help me to use that short time to maximum advantage for Thy purpose, for Your purpose, so that I may glorify You. And fifth point, the last point is, Lord, help me to realize one day I have to account for my life on earth. Yes. One day I have to account for it. There is accountability. As in every wise planning, you think the people go to China, Suzhou and make business, they don't account? Oh, you go there and do a job for the government, end of the year, come back, give an account. Yeah, the Prime Minister is going to listen to you, say, what have you done? We all have to be accountable. And God one day is going to take accounts with all of us. How do you plan ahead? How can you plan and be sure that on that day, when you stand before God, you can give a good account? How? Plan with God first. Plan with God. Let God be the director of your planning. Be the one who tells you what to do, where to go, what to do. How shall I plan for the future? Plan with God because He knows all my future. The psalmist says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought, even afar off, before I plan or think anything. God knows. From afar off, He knows all that you're thinking and planning about. So why don't you refer to Him first? This is it. My God knows all I'm thinking of, I'm planning, I'm scheming. He knows. Say, God, please help me that I may plan with You, number one. Foremost in my planning. 28 years ago, the Lord laid on my heart to leave the university. You say, what for? I prayed. I said, Lord, if You let me out into private practice, I promise You one thing, I will use my time, talent, resources to serve You. Yes, that's a promise. That's a plan, you see. I say, I do not know the future, but I say, You know the future. But I'm going to leave university, and I'm going to put my life and my hand in Your hand. Lord, May thou lead me and use me. 28 years ago. Now I look back 28 years. You look back with me and you see all the things that God has done because of a prayer and a plan. Planning with God. We never knew that things would happen in Australia or Canada or London. Did I know? Nothing. All I know is that if I leave Life Church, I can go to Jurong and start a church. That's it. One thing. But the Lord says, you go. That's a planning, you see. That's a planning. Planning with God. Put your hand in God's hand and say, Lord, I plan with you. With you in mind, with you in the lead, with you directing me. God is going to show you great things. Dear friends, we live in critical times. Critical times because in 3 years, we are going into the last year of the 20th century and of the second millennium. Very soon, it will be 2001, the third millennium and the 21st century. Ominous things are happening. Critical things are happening. We do not know how many more years we have where we have freedom to preach the gospel, freedom to sit down and listen to a sermon like this, freedom to open to King James Bible. We do not know. The time may come before you know that we cannot read King James Bible anymore. I'm not joking, but this is a fact. This is a Bible that is not loved by many people. And very soon it can be a proscribed Bible, prohibited. I say we do not know. The days are critical. Plan with God, God knows, and I'd say, if I plan with God, who knows the future, what have I to fear? What have you to fear? You plan with Him, the year 2000 will be upon you sooner than you think. Sooner than you think. Dear friends, students, parents, homemakers, bread earners, those about to get married, those planning for a family, what have you? All of us have plans, but please, in that equation, don't leave out the vital factor, God, my God. Let Him be the center and the forefront of my planning. For I know that He knows the future. And I know He knows best. And He means best for me. He wants the best for me. If I plan with Him, can I fail? Can you fail? Impossible. We have a wonderful God. Now, my friends, I want you to turn with me as we close this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Here it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. And I change it a little. Every man's plan. What are you planning today? It will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, shall reveal it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Your plans, whether they are good, bad, or indifferent, all our plans will be put through the test of fire. God will test it. All that we do in our whole lives will be put through the fire of God. And God will test what you plan in that day. Verse 13, it will be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try your plan of what sort it is. Plan with God, therefore, and on that day you say, praise the Lord, that plan worked. God's plan, your plan. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, show to us thy holy will in the life of every child of thine. Show to us thy plan. For we know thou hast a master plan, and we all come under that master plan. Bless us with that spiritual understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.